Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me are three amazing panelists from No Dunks, Lee Ellis, Jay Skeets, and the man I'm annoying by keeping my air conditioning on, which is producing a hum in the thing you're listening to, but it's a heat wave in LA. We're doing what we have to do. I'm very sorry, JD. Welcome to Is This Good?
Wow.
Hey, your comfort above all else, Matt.
Mm. How hot are we talking, Matt, right now?
It's been consistently above 100 degrees Fahrenheit for the last week at certain times of the day.
How's the AC holding up?
Terrible.
Chugging along?
No. I just have one wall unit. I don't have anything in my bedroom, so that's been over 80 degrees.
Wow.
Whoa.
I got a couple fans going in there. I got a fan and an air circulator, the Vornado. Perhaps you've heard of it.
No, I have not. It sounds awesome.
In here is just this one little wall mount. I had a guy in here looking at it yesterday, and he said, this is not big enough for this apartment.
Oh, jeez.
And I got the wrong windows. Oof. It's I don't want to talk about it.
Is this good? No, it's a humid heat, though, too, isn't it, out there? So you don't get much relief at night. Is that right?
No, it's generally a dry heat. Is some more humidity, yeah. Especially if you go further away from the ocean. I'm more on the east side, but right. No, it's not anything like Atlanta or
right.
The East Coast.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said human heat.
Yeah, so did I.
And I was like, well, yeah, I guess the body does run hot.
Yeah, sometimes he has a body lying next to him who's generating heat.
Yeah, that's even makes it even a little more uncomfortable, doesn't it, when you're lying with somebody in that heat.
Well, it's a don't. No touching policy. No. Everyone respect their sides.
Yeah.
Of the
bed. Not during the heat wave,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, the fan's oscillating, so you know you're all getting something. If you guys have topics for a future show, send them to me at StartersMatt on Twitter or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. And I should say, not only do I read all your emails, not only do I respond to all your emails, but all of the topics on today's show were sent in via email.
Oh, so nice. Wow, is that a first? And Is This Good?
It is an Is This Good first.
Nice.
So right. Keep them coming. And if you're watching live on YouTube, don't forget to vote in the polls. You could help us break a tie. As always, the premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. Everyone ready to go?
Yeah. Hey, are you doing the polls?
Yes, I'm ready to go.
Okay, we didn't talk about that pre-game.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The first topic was sent in by Stavros Y, who asks a simple question. Camping. Is it good?
Whoa. I think it is. I'll get it started right away. I think, and I'll get to a list that I found about why camping maybe does suck and it's not for everyone.
Yes.
But I think ultimately at the end of the night when you're around the fire and you're having a drink after all the stuff you maybe went through, it's ultimately worth it. But this list is hilarious.
Okay.
So I thought we could like tackle them, Matt, just sort of one by one here. It's from a website or an article called Why I Hate Camping, 9 Reasons Why It Sucks.
Right.
So we got 9 reasons.
Okay.
Some I think,
only 9.
Some,
okay,
yeah, some I think are a little fairer than others. But anyway, first one, mosquitoes have no mercy. So bugs.
Yeah. I guess it sort of depends where you're camping and what time of year.
Sure.
If you're going where and it's hot and humid, then you're going to get them. But if you go in the cooler months, they're less likely to be around.
Are you the type of person, though, that if you get bit by a mosquito, do you balloon up? Are you just like, no big deal, it's nothing?
It was like Jason Voorhees in our bedroom the other night. I woke up and I had like, I was butchered by this mosquito.
Oh, no.
On the buttocks, on the neck. on the arm. The boys got it as well. It was just a bloodbath in
the same mosquito. The mosquito. Jason.
I'm telling you. I think it was one. Because I saw him in the house and I tried to get him earlier in the night and I thought, it's all right. He won't bother us. Woke up the next morning and yeah, I just had mosquito bites everywhere.
Do you think he came in through the hole in your attic that's there?
No. I've been, that's another story. That's a whole different story there. But I think, look, in our house, given the makeup of my family, it's, you know, there's quite a lot of different flavors in the house.
So you think the mosquito is like the wet bandits? It's like checking out the houses on the block.
I'm just saying.
What type of international flavors in each house?
They love Roxana. They absolutely devour Roxana.
They love Nora too.
So I don't know if it's that female body or something like that, but Roxana being Latin American.
Oh, those pheromones.
Oh, my God. They absolutely devour her. And then so me, I'm kind of like, I'm probably more like the buffet where it's a sort of a bit of everything there.
They love your ass.
Yeah. And then the boys, the same. Like if they woke up and they had
they're like
any,
veal.
Yeah. If they had any exposed skin, the mozzie found it. So, yeah.
Were you sleeping naked? Because you said you were bitten on your
No, I sleep in boxer perineum. Shorts. Boxer shorts and sometimes a t-shirt. And so, but it, and it's also still humid
here.
How'd
they get onto your butt?
Do you think the mosquito came through the hole in your boxing shorts?
Listen, I think this mosquito was actually stalking out our bedroom for a couple of nights and he knew when to strike. Because, yeah,
Do you sleep under a blanket? How did the mosquito get through the sheet and your boxers?
I mean, you know, it's the same. Like, our air conditioning, like, you know, it sort of kicks on and kicks off. And so the room temperature varies so much. So you are throwing the sheets off at times. And I guess he just waited. He just waited it out. And he took full advantage.
Okay, like a patient hitman waiting for a shot.
Yeah. It was...
So when you camp, do they get...
Well, that's the thing. I mean...
Also, good thing you know you don't sleep on your back because if the mosquito could get to your butt...
You think he's a horny mosquito, Matt?
No, well, are all mosquitoes male? Because you did say he waited. So that's an interesting question.
Well, only females are the ones that are bite you, I think.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a lesbian mosquito then that was loving
on Roxy, yeah. Well, the thing is, when I haven't camped actually for a long time, but when I wouldn't camp in the warmer months. I would make it in the cooler months because I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I don't think camping, especially in Georgia, in, you know, from May until...
Now?
even still now. I would go October, November, January, sort of February time. January's probably a bit cold, but March maybe.
You reacted, JD, when we were talking about mosquitoes. yes. Is this on your list?
Of why
you maybe dislike camping?
Well, I definitely dislike camping, for sure. Mosquitoes on the list for sure, but also that's literally everyday life here in Georgia. Yeah. Like I get bitten every single day here.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't even consider that a factor anymore. I'm just so used to it.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
Okay. What's next on the list?
Okay. Yeah. Sleeping on the ground hurts.
Yeah. Well, it does.
But I mean, if you go on camping. You're not sleeping on the ground.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Like, who doesn't take some sort of mattress, foam, airbed when you're going to go camp? Yeah. So that's bogus.
I mean, you still are.
I've slept on the ground before.
Yeah, but
if you're hiking, if you're like portaging, you know, you just don't have the room in your pack to. If you're driving to the campsite and you're like literally next to your car, sure, yeah, bring a mattress, bring a Helix mattress.
Not a Helix, but, you know, I just that because to me that would be so incredibly uncomfortable to sleep on the ground.
Do you know that if you have up to 100 days to use your Helix mattress in a campground?
Yeah, what's the date? I've got to check it out.
Honestly, that would be great because they deliver, and also if you don't want it, don't they come and take
that's
it
right
so yeah, you just do. Tell them they to do. Deliver it to the campsite call them the next day and say it didn't too firm should we distinguish between different kinds of camping because I think because I'm a not good on camping but like car camping or any kind of camping where you're just going to a campsite camping
right
waking up packing up and then going home if you're like going on a through hike like I don't know like Appalachian Trail Pacific Crest Trail or just any long hike that's more than a day, and you're hiking to somewhere, camping there, and then you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't really want to do that, but I think that's cool.
it's definitely cool.
And I would do that because you're getting somewhere on the hike, and you would have to if you want to go on a longer hike. But any other kind of camping, I'm a not good.
Okay. And how do you sleep when you are camping? Like, I mean, I feel like you are particular about your sleeping, Matt.
Well, look, we're all old. I mean, if I don't sleep anywhere but my bed, my back hurts at this point. Right, and I did have to sleep on the couch near the air conditioner one night this week. And
wow.
I haven't recovered.
He camped in his living room.
Yeah, camping. Yeah, in-house camping.
All right.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah.
The third one here, this is lame. It rains almost every time.
Come on.
Get the fuck
okay. out. When are you going to get to murder?
Well, murder's not here.
Is murder not number one?
No, this one's even crazier than complaining about it raining every time you go camping. Being bored out of your mind.
Did you write these, Matt?
This is on this list.
No, this is not me. Because murder is number one on my list.
Being bored out of your mind.
What are you doing then? What are you doing? Going camping and you're going to be bored.
Also, isn't that sort of the point? A little bit of camping? Like, hey, get away from your computer. Get away from the TV.
That's the thing. You don't go there to just sit there and go, now what do I do? You go into a lake or a river or somewhere, and you're like, that's the activity, is doing what you're doing.
And as we keep going here, too, I would add to that, when you camp, it's like everything is 10 times harder. So that's what you're doing.
Exactly. You're too busy to
make it. Right. Yeah. Until the last part of the night where you can finally sit down and maybe have a drink by the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. This one, I think, is what you were talking about, Matt, like the idea of like camping in a campground. This person has written, it's noisy and crowded.
Yeah. Especially if you're car camping.
Yeah.
Often
car camping. Yeah.
And then you have people coming over being like, oh, hey, couldn't help but notice your fire. You know, you want to hang out? You want to listen to me play the acoustic? I brought a pan flute. Like, oh, then their kids come over. They don't leave. You want to go to sleep. I mean, now with Bluetooth technology, I mean, there's speakers everywhere in the outdoors.
Yeah, okay.
So those people could murder you. But, you know, also, forget about mosquitoes. What about bears? What about a mountain lion?
Yeah, right. Look, nature, man.
There's murder, murder by man, murder by beast.
How about this one? Cooking is a chore.
Oh, my God. What? What does this person expect to do when they go camping? I mean, they don't want to lie on the floor, on the ground, so go to a hotel. It's too crowded. Well, if you go into one of the major campgrounds, yes, it's probably going to be crowded. Yeah. What else are you saying there? Like, cooking is a chore?
Call a pizza.
I mean, go to a restaurant there. Like, this doesn't make any sense why this article was even written. I mean,
right, but it is, if it's compared to staying in a cottage, for example, you're still cooking and stuff, but cooking is way harder when you're camping.
Yes,
because they're just a cleanup. You have to go down to the stream and scrub it on a rock using leaves and whatnot. Like,
listen, my experiences camping as a kid were the opposite of this. It was awesome fun.
Yeah, because your parents were doing
it. No, they weren't doing it. No. They weren't doing it. That's the thing. We all did it. We all, because we used to go camp with lots of friends and you know, families and stuff like that, and it was awesome. Like,
were you in tents or
tents,
a caravan or
tents? Yeah, yeah. And that was part of it.
Your favorite thing was peeling a potato with a rock?
No, my favorite thing was going fishing and then cooking the fish on the barbecue.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was awesome.
That is, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great
on the barbecue.
Experience.
Barbecue?
On the open fire, or you bring a propane little
Both. We had both. Okay. We had the propane, mainly the propane there, but then there were times where Dad was like, all right, he would take over for the, you know, open flame.
Sure.
He would say, all right, and we'd put like some sort of grill over there and just cook the fish. It was great.
Again, it goes back to like being bored. This is the chore. This is this is going to take you hours.
Yeah.
In a good way, I'm saying.
I've got a photo if you give me a chance. I've got a photo of one time camping with a fish.
You knew we were doing this podcast.
No, well, I didn't know we were going to go this deep into it, but let me see if I can find it. Right. Oh, man, where is it?
Okay, go to the next one while we're waiting.
When are you going to get to
murder?
To pooping outdoors?
Okay, the next one is the bathrooms are dirty or there are none at all.
Well, that's the biggest thing, I think, especially my wife, Roxana, will not go camping.
Right.
And she's like...
This is the sort of reason number one?
100%. That's the 100%.
Getting murdered number
reason.
Two, maybe.
Murder's not that big of a concern for me. I mean...
So does Roxana shit in the woods? The answer is no.
Well, imagine those mosquitoes getting on her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow, that's right. Yeah.
JD, when you described having to clean stuff by going to the river and rubbing it on a rock and wiping it with a leaf, that's describing pooping, you know, wiping pooping.
Oops.
Well, you can bring toilet paper with you, I assume. And hopefully you're not shitting in the water, right?
Aqueduct?
No, you got to dig a hole.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy on Survivor did that.
Well, I think everybody on Survivor is encouraged to shit in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy, though.
What? That's an ocean, though.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point. Down the
big
river.
Difference.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then the final two,
How do you have this on hand?
You found it,
I found it. JD's got it.
Just give me a second.
All right. Final two are, it's a hassle. Okay. So the idea of, hold on.
Yeah.
The idea of, have you done it with your boys yet?
No,
you haven't.
No,
you got to hang up
because you love camping so much.
That's my fault. That's my fault for not doing it because I've tried to convince Roxana. I've even had some friends who have gone camping to her, but it's just the plumbing is the big hold up there.
Right.
And so I haven't done it.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so this is me and Beardy. And you can see the tents in the background there, the classic old style tents as well. They took us about an hour to get up. We would go fishing down in, Wilson's Promontory in southern Australia there. Get those fish. We would scale them at night there or, in the afternoon and then cook them on the grill.
Nice.
Tiny ass fish you're eating.
Yeah, they are. Like they only just met the requirements, I remember, for the measurement because they had a little ruler on the side. They're brim, I believe, and you had to measure them.
Yeah.
And you're maybe stretching them out a little bit to make sure. Because you're pulling it with, because all we were using for bait was bread on the end of the hook, and they were just like, we were pulling them in left and right.
Oh, yeah.
And went back and cooked them up.
Luckily, you always have your 3-inch ruler with you.
No, it was on the thing. It was on the
classic.
Yeah.
In his defense, the water was cold.
Let's go around the horn. JD.
No, hold on.
I'm almost done.
The hassle part, back to you. You haven't done it with your boys yet. This is a fair point. You have to put a lot of things in your car. You've got to know where you're. There is a lot of planning.
And it's expensive.
And the last one is it's expensive.
Again, I disagree on the expensive. Like, what's expensive? I mean, if you want to go and spend $1,000 on a tent, sure, but you don't have to spend that much. I mean, you can basically buy tents these days as well. They just go up in a flash. There's no hammering in the pegs like we used to do that. So I don't think.
Well, you're gonna be so bored. Your tent's up in 5 minutes.
I mean, this guy wants like a cheap, hassle-free, comfortable. Existence. Like, I don't even know why he bothered going camping.
Not existence. Maybe vacation. A cheap, hassle-free vacation sounds nice.
Why is he put that? Why is he even
bothered
going? Who's
he? Who are you talking about? Oh, the guy making the list. Yeah. The guy making the list. Okay. Yeah, right.
Like, go somewhere else on your holiday.
Holy shit, you're not going to believe this. A mosquito wrote this article.
Yeah. No, well, the mosquito would be the opposite. It'd say,
why camping's awesome.
Yeah.
Why everybody should do it.
Yeah, come.
But why are you wearing so many clothes? Yeah, Ben wrote this.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. But you don't think it's expensive? Like, there is your tent. There is all the sleeping stuff. So your sleeping bag, whatever you're lying on.
Yeah,
there's all your cooking equipment.
You have to buy four sleeping bags. You have to buy four of these plush air mattresses.
Yeah, but going to add up.
Like Coleman camper.
I mean, look.
All of which can be reused.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
the
thing.
But how often is he going camping? If he's going twice a year, it's expensive.
I'm not going anywhere.
It's cheaper to go to a hotel. That's... Roxana can have the toilet of her dreams.
That's the thing. The upfront costs, sure, but if you do go camping regularly, it's actually very cheap.
Yeah, sure.
Because you don't need to then buy all that stuff. You don't usually you have to reserve. Depends, I guess, where you're going, but you have to reserve a spot at the campground. That costs money. But if you can just go buy the
see the campground camping.
Yeah,
I'm way out of that.
100%,
that seems. I want to be if I'm going alone. Into the woods, and I don't want to be around people. Generally.
Right. Yeah,
I want to be isolated. But then you do have to have some knowledge.
Of nature. Yeah, yeah. You need to know
so
where you're going.
So the best way to camp is to go with someone that already has all the shit and knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is great. And then I love it.
Yeah. On the trip I went to South America, part of the journey was like, we just pulled over at the side of the road and started camping some nights. They were so much fun.
Right.
Just
right.
get the tents out, pitch them. And then you go walking around, you maybe swim in a river or something like that. That was so much fun because it was spontaneous and you weren't in a campground. So big, big, big ups for that.
Okay, so let's go around the horn and give me your good, not good.
I am good, ultimately. I think this list brings up some good points, but like I said, you go with the right group. And because you can't go camping with everyone, as we just decided.
No.
Fortunately, my wife, Nora, she just gets destroyed by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And she, has reactions to mosquitoes. That's the other thing. It's one thing to get bit by mosquitoes. Yeah. It's another thing to have, to blow up, a 3-inch... welt on your arm. And then it's there for weeks. That's horrible.
Oh, 3 inches? Lee could measure that.
But you, not around my wife, you won't. But yeah, you go with the right people. Camping, love it. It's good.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm up on it. I think it's good, and you should do it. And again,
do you want to go camping again?
I would love to go camping.
Damn, YouTube series.
You should go camping. I mean, I'm not going to go, but you should go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not not until at least November though. Here.
Okay.
Just because, well, the memories I have of camping as a kid, though, like those tents, is, you know, they just get so hot.
Oh, you wake up in the morning. Oh, yeah. One thing about camping that sort of sucks. You wake up 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It can be hot as hell in your tent.
I camped at the Athens Olympics in August, right? In a tent.
That I don't was remember event, that or... event.
Yeah. just remembering that now, that was the thing, is we had to get out of the tent at like 5:30 in the morning because you couldn't, and then you were basically out of it until midnight. Because you couldn't go back in. It's crazy.
Oh, it sounds great.
But it was great. I'd wake up and go for a swim in the water.
In a river? Let me guess, a river?
No, it wasn't a river, actually.
Every camping story he has shared, it's like, sounds like the worst time ever. No. He loves it. Honestly, I think that's camping in a nutshell. It's sort of sucks, but man, is it fun.
Yeah.
JD, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm saying it's bad. It's not good. It's, I agree with everything that you said, Skeets. With the right people, if you're on a trek, if you're portaging, but it's just way too much work for me. I barely get any vacation as it is, and I just want to chill, man. Yeah. I want stuff done for me. I don't want to work that hard on a vacation. So I will save all my camping skills for the apocalypse. And that's it. It's bad.
Well,
all right. I'm with Ben. Even though he's an asshole, it's not good. With a carve out for, it's good if you're hiking through. Yeah. And what are the people saying?
People, this is probably one of the biggest received votes we've got. 139, and it's a blowout to the good. 66% say it's good.
Wow.
Camping.
Wow.
So,
got some outdoorsy.
There were some people in the stream team a little fired up with all that negativity around camping.
Well, talk to Ben. Maybe give up Ben's email address.
Sure. I'll share the link. Drop in those comments. His website is packyourtent.com.
or don't.
Or pitch it. All right.
Next topic comes from Tamir M, who asks, again, via email, not flushing pee at home. Is this good?
Mm.
So are you team, if it's yellow, let it mellow?
Right.
Come on, Matt. What's going on here? We had farts last week. We got pissed this week. What's next? Boogers, earwax.
Shit.
I mean, I thought these were topics that we were like trying to figure out. If, you know, if you're at a dinner table or at a party, people are actually talking about these things. You know, I've never been anywhere and someone's like, "So, do you flush at home when you pee?" It's just never happened.
It's never come up.
No one's ever said that to me. Yeah. No.
No. You've never. This has never been a discussion with your wife.
No, I mean, what?
So that means you flush
every
time.
So do you flush every time?
Of course I do. Why wouldn't you flush? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you flush?
The environment, maybe?
Well, okay. I mean, if things weren't to be done because of the environment, you wouldn't do anything.
That's true. But
do you drive a car?
Like a camp.
Do you eat meat?
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't leave a car idling. You don't, you know.
Well, people do, Matt. People definitely leave their
good walk. Matt.
How many times a day do you think you're peeing?
Good question.
I wish we were having a meal right now. I would say
7 to 10, I suppose. But that's with the caveat that, you know, when you go for a walk, big workout, or not even a big workout, but here in Atlanta, you go for a walk and you're guzzling water when you come home because you're sweating. And so that's why you have a few more, I'd say. I would say 7 to 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think that's reasonable. So I think from what I've seen online, toilets made after 1994 use 1.2 to 1.6 gallons of water every time you flush. So some quick math, let's say it's 10. That's, I don't know, like 15 gallons of water. So if you only flushed twice, you'd be only using, let's say, 3 gallons of water.
Mm.
That's a split of 12 gallons of water.
Yeah.
To take away your precious piss.
I don't know. It's just a habit as well. I've never...
You could break habits.
Yeah, but I mean, you go to the toilet. I mean, if one of my boys went to the toilet and they didn't flush, I would say, how come you didn't flush? You know, like, you got to flush the toilet because other people use it. Other people go in there. You don't want to go in there when someone else has just left their business in there, even if it's only pee. But I just think it's like it's hygiene, personal hygiene and cleanliness.
Do you have the toilet with the two buttons?
Yes.
The one, the pee button and the dump button?
We do, yes, yes.
Which one's which, please?
Well, this is the thing. Usually the pee only one goes down by itself, and then the bigger one, the one around it, tends to take both.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
There's some mechanical issue there, because there are definitely times where I'm pressing one and both go, and then I press the other one and both go as well. So not sure what's the deal there, but yeah, I just don't. I mean, look, I know it uses a lot of water, but if I go to the toilet, I mean, like, I use the toilet before JD's house here before the show. Even if it's not much, we talked about it. Sometimes a Sofoster is not the amount, it's the habit of doing it.
Yeah.
You're not going to just say, all right, I'm not flushing. Someone else can flush that.
Yeah. A surfer.
Well, the question is not flushing pee at home. I mean, you're not in your home, right?
Well, it feels like my home, though, in JD's house here. So.
I'm glad you feel that way.
No, but I mean, okay, but other
his
people...
His water bill must be through the roof.
Yeah. That's the thing. Everyone uses it. So if I'm going to go in and then you can tell who was just in before you and they didn't flush, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit weird. Why
okay, but again, at home, it's just your wife and your
kids.
Okay,
no,
okay, is anyone... I'm getting in. This the reason why I picked this question is I used to be an every time flusher, like you say, Lee. It was a habit. Now I'm really starting to let it mellow.
Yeah.
I'm letting it slide.
But you live alone, though.
Yeah.
I do, but I also had this conversation with Jill. I said, when either of us goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night, how about this? No flushing.
Oh, that's the rule in our house. Middle of the night.
It's one less thing to do, and it's not making noise.
Noise.
Right. Yeah. Less likely to wake up.
Yeah.
And we've been loving it.
Great.
Wow, that's good. That's the only time in our house where it's you can leave the pee.
Right, right.
It's during the hours of 11 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Just mainly for volume control.
Yeah. I here around here, other than you guys, I am the only one that flushes the toilet around here. Yellow or brown sometimes.
Oh, that's insane.
It's a nice...
Hey, dude, that's
what's
insane.
Going on in your house?
That's
I live
an
with
animal.
Slobs.
Yeah, that's
I live
an
with slobs.
Who's not flushing a tooth?
All of them. No, I mean, well, it happens from time to time. The two, I think, is literally an accident. I'm hoping it's an accident or just a message to dad. Fuck
well,
you, dad.
Yeah. I mean... My biggest concern, I have two boys like you, JD, is their accuracy rather than whether or not they flush. I mean, their accuracy is poor. I mean, they, you know, you sometimes think they can't see past their nose here. But as far as flushing, I'm always like, listen, because I say to them, like, if you go to someone else's house or you know, somewhere else, you want to make sure you flush. You don't want to be known as the non-flusher.
Just get that habit instilled in them. It's so easy to flush when you're facing the toilet tank. It's like right there. You can do it with your nose.
As you're getting up, you sort of like...
press yourself up with the classic leap.
Be careful. Yeah. You might get sucked in. Man.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm good on this. I think that you should let it mellow. But I'm a goddamn hypocrite because I hate it. When I see it in the toilet, if I see yellow in the toilet and I'm about to pee... I flush it because I don't want that stink coming back in my face. Yeah, and that's just, you know what? I sit in my car sweltering while cars are idling around me. That's my contribution, you guys. But when it comes to peeing on pee that's already there, that's not my pee, I can't do it. I get grossed out.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where it comes back to the personal hygiene. It's like, you don't want someone else to be like that. It's like...
Pee is sterile.
Yes, that is true. It is sterile.
Yeah. Wow.
So the germ thing is not an argument. You can't stand on that one, unfortunately.
It depends how dehydrated the person is. Like, if it is really, really yellow, come on.
Yeah.
No one wants to see that, like you
You're
said.
Right. Yeah.
But,
right.
Hey, if you got a nice clear, you just took down a jug of water on your walk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
basically
clear
just...
as day. Then how am I going to know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You just never know.
We're living in a time of peak hydration. No one, never in
you're
history
right.
have people been drinking more water
you're
than
right.
they drink now. So that means you're going to pee more, use more water when you flush, and it's more likely to be clear. And so I bet sometimes you wouldn't even know there was pee.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah,
let me ask you a lateral question here. Flushing a urinal, like, you doing that every time?
No.
You don't want to touch it, generally.
That's
Oh, come on now.
Oh,
please.
Okay. What? He's upset.
God damn it, this is my biggest pet peeve is going into it. Like, That's where I see the most brownies, by the way, in public toilets.
Oh, well,
just flush the toilet.
You said urinals, man.
Yeah, but still. Still, I've been in urinals. I've seen them here in Atlanta, overflowing with piss. Overflowing.
They're backed up with crap that other people.
No, because all I do is go boink, and then it's gone because nobody's flushing the toilet.
Okay.
I mean, like, bring in the waterless urinals. Like, that's the solution.
Make it like a measuring cup. Like, there should be like levels on the urinal.
They have those now.
When it gets to piss, flush it.
They have those waterless urinals now.
Yeah, I know. Let's just use those.
And people spit their gum too sometimes. That's what causes the problem. But I mean, the urinal is just gross when you're at the game and whatever, and you walk in there and you just know how many fingers and hands are touching it, and you're like, well, no one else is doing it. I'm not doing it.
I think it's 2022. I should never have to flush another urinal.
Yeah.
They should be that either the auto sensor that's saving water or the waterless. The metal handle like you're at like in grade school.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's gross.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get your foot up there to kick it, so.
Yeah.
What are the people saying?
A blowout again in the not goods. Cleared 100 votes again, Matt, which is great.
I don't like it when you say how many people voted.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd like to see the engagement.
If it's like, oh, it's a barn burner, it's 50-50. How many people voted?
Two. 101. Anyway, 67%. This is very weird. We don't have 100% vote. We have a 67 say not good and 32 say good. So we only got 99% of the votes count. There's a margin for error of plus or minus one.
Somebody missed the urinal.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a break now. But when we come back, we are going to discuss the most requested topic in Is This Good history.
Wow.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome back to Is This Good? This topic has been sent in by at least three people, including Philip T., David O., and Danny S. It's an internet classic. Reclining your seat on an airplane. Is this good? As I said, is it the most original topic? No, but people need a ruling from us. I mean, as far as I think 2014, this kind of blew up on the internet when a plane had to be diverted because someone was using a knee defender. JD, I don't know if you have that picture, you could put it up, but basically someone put on these little plastic clips onto the arms of where the tray table comes down that doesn't allow the person in front of you, we're looking at a picture of it now, to recline their seat. So the person was trying to recline their seat. They couldn't. Saw that this guy was using these knee defenders. Threw a cup of water in his face.
Wow.
The plane had just taken off, so they had to burn off $50,000 worth of fuel and then just turned back around and landed.
Don't flush a toilet, but burn $50,000 of fuel over the ocean. Right. Yeah.
So obviously sparked off a debate. Is it rude to recline your seat on an airplane? What do you guys think?
Yes. Reclining your seat on an airplane should be criminalized.
Yes.
Disagree. Disagree.
It's insane.
Okay, Skeets, you were just on many airplanes.
I was.
Tell us what happened.
Pretty far length, obviously flying from the States to France. So some distance there. On the way there, it was the overnight flight. Okay, I will give the person ahead of me that, you know, where the lights are out.
Yeah.
Let's try and get some sleep. Sure. But here's why it shouldn't, even in that situation, still be illegal to recline. There is no reward. They barely recline as it is. This is the part I don't get. I've done it. And that's what happens. It's a domino effect.
Yeah,
well, now you're doing it. Now I got to do it. Then the person behind me. But it's like 2 inches. It's nothing. It doesn't add. The reward is not worth it for the discomfort for the person behind you. And we're already packed in like sardines. I hate it. I was so happy coming back from France. Again, maybe it was during the day. The person, they decided not to do it at all.
Yeah.
I shook their hand when they got up. I bought them a meal. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yes, you don't need to do it. So Nora, like I said, the domino effect, if the person does it ahead of her, then she's like, well, I'm doing it now just to get some more space. Not me.
Yeah.
Nope. Man of principle.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Because I think it's insane. Yeah. I think it's insane. So you disagree.
I think it's fine, but there are certain conditions with it. Okay, like I don't get on the plane and as soon as I take off, bang.
Some people do.
They do, absolutely. Yeah. If I'm trying to sleep, if it's a long flight, then I do recline it. But I always check who's behind me first. And if it is someone who's a bigger person, I'm like, okay, this is probably already uncomfortable for them. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it myself.
So you think if you got a kid behind you, no problem.
That's right. Yeah. Right. If you've got a kid, because then you're also dealing with the kid just kicking the crap out of your back of your seat anyway. So I'm like, that's fine. My kids do it. They do it, you know. So I'm not bothered by that. But like I say, I'm not like a full recline for the entire flight, no matter what. It's under certain circumstances. I think it's fine. And one time I was on a flight and I was asleep and I got the old, I was reclining, I got a tap from this lady behind me and she said, and she woke me up, she goes, can you lift your seat up? Can you pull it up? I said, why? She said, I don't like it reclined. Right? And I said, well, I'm allowed to. And a flight attendant was walking past and she grabbed the flight attendant and she said, this man, can you tell him to lift his seat up? And she said, why? And he said, I don't want it. And she said, he's allowed to recline his seat.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
Oh
God.
So, and I was like, I wasn't doing anything offensive or rude. I was napping. She woke me up to say, move your seat up. I said, no, I don't have to do that. So I don't see it. Like,
did she ask you kindly, though?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really. Yeah. She basically just said, can you do it because I don't like you doing it? And I was like, well, I'm allowed to do it. And the seat shouldn't recline if it's that big a problem, but they do.
Yeah, you're right.
So
we need, you know, these knee defenders. I think
within reason at times it's fine, but, you know, not just like egregiously, like, you know, even if you get up to use the toilet and don't flush, if you then you don't recline it up, if you know what I mean, if you don't pull it up, if you leave it back like that, and you basically just say, you're getting my reclined seat the entire flight. I think it helps you sleep, to be honest.
I disagree.
That's a question I have. I think people instinctively recline because they just assume it'll be more comfortable. Is it more comfortable? To me,
no.
It's harder to sleep reclined. And sitting like that's not comfortable. I mean, I've seen people recline their seat and then proceed to just lean forward and work on their laptop. I think some people, it's just an instinctive thing. Yeah.
That's my point. If you're not using the recline, then pull it up. You know. But if you're just sort of reserving it so when I feel like reclining, it's going to stay in that position, then I think that's wrong. But for me personally, it helps me sleep. So I put it in the recline for a sleep. And then when I'm out of that, watching TV or whatever, I think it's just normal and more comfortable to sit up.
Oh, there's nothing worse when you're on the plane, you're watching Mrs. Doubtfire, and then the seat ahead of you reclines, and suddenly Mrs. Doubtfire is like one inch from your nose.
Yeah, but they make
suddenly
the
Mrs. Doubtfire's
adjustable.
Like, hello!
It does feel like Lee Ellis is sleeping in your lap, though. If you're not reclined and the person in front of you reclines, just snoring away, it feels to me, maybe because I'm bigger, it just feels like he's right there. Like,
yes.
Like I could give him a little head massage. You know what I mean? Like,
like that. He loves that.
He would, but you know.
So you're against it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Take all the seats out. Make us stand the entire flight. That's what I think.
We talked about this, didn't we, JD? The perfect airplane. That's a whole episode.
Well,
right?
Yeah, the perfect airplane. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So no seats.
No seats.
No hand luggage.
Just let us do the flight list thing. Just go up and down. All the wait list thing.
Well, like a bus or a train where you just hold on. Like,
yeah,
oh, all right.
That's right.
Sure, I don't mind.
And maybe like some like little fold-down seats on the side.
Sure, okay. If you have to take a break, you have to book time in that little bench there. Like, oh, Mr. Elder,
book time.
It's your turn to sit in the seat.
Well, also, it's funny you say that. So I was talking to Nora about this topic, and she said, "Well, maybe there should be a section on the plane, like for the recliners only,
like the old smoking section."
But then they do. It's called first class.
Well, yes. Yeah, but then I was like, imagine that. Wait, we already have. If you've been like taking a flight in the last little bit, like, let's say Delta. There's like 10 different calls now to board a plane.
Oh, I know.
It's like, you know, obviously if you've got kids, okay, first class, okay, Diamond, okay, Delta Comfort, Delta Comfort Plus, okay. And then I was like, so now they're going to start saying, recliners, we're now boarding.
That's not a bad
idea. People wheeled in.
That's not a bad idea, though, because if you then purchase the recliner, you're expecting the person in front of you to recline.
JD said, it's first class. I mean,
yeah, but they don't impede the other person anymore in first class because it, like, you know, the way it sort of goes down. Is it doesn't you're not sort of back in.
Okay, how about maybe right side of the plane recliners, righty recliners, and
I think they should put that in there. Do you want a reclining seat or not? And you can pay extra or less or whatever. I don't know whatever the demand is for them because I think people would probably want the reclining option.
But it has to be extreme. It has to be like 8 levels. You just have to lie flat. A bunk bed. What I mean?
Oh, like, no. So I thought you meant like, so we're like, oh, we're flying to France. What degree of recline did you get?
Not much. I only got a 15%. This is going to be a tough lie. I paid more. I got the 46%. It's going to be great.
I didn't expect everyone to be so against reclining, so I'm going to have to do... I mean, I'm very against it, but I'm going to have to present the devil's advocate position.
Okay.
People say, if reclining your seat's not good, why is there a button on my seat that allows me to recline? I paid for the seat. I paid for the seat that reclines. Yep. Therefore, it is up to me to recline. If you would like to recline behind me, go ahead. That's how I'm comfortable. That's what I want to do. That's what my ticket entails me.
There's also an ashtray next to you on the seat in some flights.
Well, it's illegal to smoke.
Illegal then.
Legal to recline. I actually think there is some validity to the option of like make some just non-reclinable, and then you don't have to have that issue. I like that. That's a good option.
So, Lee, what would you choose, though? Would rather seat in the unreclined or the reclined
section? No, I would take the recline. I think it's okay to recline. I think there are some...
So, but then you're okay with the person in front of you reclining.
Well, again, like, that's their option. I'm not going to say, hey, don't recline. It's annoying me. They're allowed to do it. So, I'm fine. I live with that sort of acceptance of, like, if they're reclining, that doesn't automatically mean I will recline. I'll do my own reclining based on my own criteria. But I'm not going to go up to someone and say, don't recline. That's rude.
When you get on a plane nowadays, all you're doing is like crossing your fingers and making wishes for things to happen. You're hoping when you get on, there's room to put your carry-on.
Yeah.
You're hoping there's no one beside you.
Yeah.
You're hoping now the person ahead of you isn't reclining. Like, what are we doing? I know. Fucking take out half of the seats is what we're getting at here. When I go to a movie theater, I recline. I can. I have an option.
Guess what?
I do it, nobody's affected behind me.
No, those are different kind of recliners, though, at the movie
theater.
Oh,
there are like full-on reclining chairs, if you want. But I'm not affecting anyone behind me because they're spaced out enough. Yeah. There's too many damn seats on these planes.
Wow. Well, we pay double then.
Sure.
Yeah, and to fly business class, then you don't have to worry
about it. But that's what will happen. Like, if you take the seats out, it'll just...
You're right.
Yeah.
Just suffer through it. Be uncomfortable.
Right.
That's
right.
All. Like, just
okay.
Be uncomfortable.
Okay, well, JD, can you represent the tall community here?
Well,
like,
I'm not
I think
that
if
tall,
I think if Trey was on the show, he would be adamantly pro reclining. I would guess,
but I don't think he would be because him reclining doesn't do anything for his length. His legs. This is the issue.
Yeah.
When I get on a plane, I know I'm not the tallest person in the world, but I have actually long legs, so I'm like my knees are hitting that thing ahead of me. And it has nothing to do with like the reclining part. I don't know what Trey's opinion would be on it, but I don't think it's going to be because he's tall. That's what my guess is.
In fact, it's the other people reclining that would probably affect him
totally.
More, right? Guy's 6'4", and he's got somebody just right in his face.
Yeah, he tweeted a photo, I think, when he flew from Florida to Vegas. He was rammed in there on Spirit Airways or something like that. But I'm okay with the reclining rules and regulations. You know, sometimes you get reclined on, sometimes you're the reclinee.
So Greg in the stream team says, reclining seems like standing at a concert. If the guy in front of you reclines, you recline.
Mm. Well, again, you don't have to.
I know, but...
Trey says here, he's chimed in, he's saying he never reclines.
Yeah, it's good.
So,
God damn it. I love that man.
Okay. I would actually like to speak directly to the tall people that are listening that are saying.
What counts as tall, though, for you, Matt? I mean, no, I was just asking.
I think it's still a standard. It's just because I'm short doesn't mean.
No, but is 6 foot tall? I mean, I wouldn't say
that's
tall.
Yes, let's say 6 foot and above.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I think that's generally considered tall to most people.
Well, what do you consider tall?
6'2", actually.
Yeah, I would say 6'2", 6'2" and over is tall.
How much of the U.S. population is 6 feet and over, do you think, percentage?
Good question.
I mean, men and women, you mean?
Wow.
Percentage.
Not going to be many women.
Yeah, that's the thing. Probably 30%.
No, 15%.
Huh. Wow.
How many CEOs... are 6 feet and taller.
Oh, it's like 40% or something.
Probably higher.
60%.
Yeah, oh, jeez. Yeah. Wow.
Okay? 15% of the population, 60%.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm going with this. Tall people, you have everything else. You don't need planes to be perfect for you too, okay? You have better jobs. You report higher levels of happiness. According to a 2004 paper in the Journal of Applied Psychology, tall people earn more money. An average of $789 per inch per year.
Wow.
You get more matches on dating apps.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
clothes
that's
are made for you. You could reach higher shelves. This isn't your time. Planes are for us.
We're all equal in the sky. No, the problem is these CEOs, all these tall guys, these tall rich fucks, they're just in first class.
Yeah.
They're like, oh,
exactly. Yeah, they're making all the money. Go to fucking first class. Economy, 5'10 and lower.
All right.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah, imagine that. Because I'm 5'10 and three quarters, so I'm not quite sure where I
You must be this short to get on this ride.
Take your shoes off.
Okay, and while we're on airplanes, let's just get this one out of the way. How do you divide in a three-seat aisle? How do you divide the armrests?
In terms of where we're putting our arms?
Yes, like I think there's a correct control. Way I would like you to see.
Oh,
if
wow.
Agree with
the
me.
Middle person gets both. Abreast.
Correct.
The That's middle what person, I think. But do they get them at the back of the armrests? Like,
oh,
you
they
feel
just
about
get the entire
they the
arm.
Thing.
They get both
they get
armrests. You're in the
thing.
Middle, you get the whole thing of both.
Jeez.
You get
here's how it shakes down.
All right.
Aisle, you get the leg room, easy access to the bathroom, one armrest. Window, you get the view. You get a place to put your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
You get one armrest. Middle, you get fucking nothing and two armrests.
Okay. Yeah.
I 100% agree with that.
Okay. So, okay. Lee, what are the people saying regarding reclining?
It's a blowout again. Not
wow.
good. 63%. I only got 99% of votes again here. 63% not good, 36% good.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay, then I do wonder why, because I know I was reading an article that Delta, American, United, and Southwest have limited the recline on most of their planes. It used to be 4 inches, and now it's 2 inches. So if everyone hates it, what do we – maybe we just get rid of it.
Yeah, lock it up.
Maybe
lock
the time is now.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
How about this before we move on, Matt? I got JD to grab this photo. There was like, it was going around a couple years ago. It was like a prototype a prototype of a double decker style airplane seat. Leo, I'd love to get your opinion on this. If you're listening to the podcast, I guess it's a double decker. There's like a layer above or a seat row above, and then picture sort of your face right at the person in front of you's ass.
But there's a wall like there. A mega bus, if you've ever seen these buses that are like
So, Lee, what do you think? I mean, it allows you to stretch out your legs there. Yeah. Keep them straight.
Well, and the screen is obviously going to be right in front of your face there too, so you're going to not be thinking about their button right in your face. But, I mean, that's trying to find the middle ground so that people can recline and do their own thing. But I just don't think it'll take off, pardon the pun, because it just looks... I don't know. It just doesn't look like
hell.
Yeah.
it makes me look a little like feel like, claustrophobic.
Well, if you're in the middle for sure, you're going to feel like you just feel like trapped in there. So I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. But I mean, they're trying to find ways to do it. I honestly feel that maybe they do need to. Someone needs to be bold here, like Richard Branson, and say, right, we're going with a recline free flight, or you know. Or the seats are fully reclined the entire flight.
You know what? The problem is, though, passengers, as we've proven, will fly in the worst economy class seats. Yeah. You don't need to fix. You don't need a better option because their whole job is make more money.
Right? Well, that's right. Like, yeah.
They don't care about us.
Yeah, I would also say in the pre-mask era, like reclining seats was probably the number one source for airplane fights. In general. I mean, now it's probably masks. Well, I guess now we don't need...
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's
people don't like it. It causes fights. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Richard Branson, we need you.
Yeah. How do you feel about this situation, just quickly, Matt? The very... well, I find awkward at times. How do you describe it? Let's say you're sitting in the aisle seat, and the person ahead of you reclines.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're like, oh, God. But then the person in the middle seat... in the row ahead of you doesn't recline.
Right.
Or wait, do I have this backwards? No, I have this backwards. The person in the middle seat reclines.
Yeah.
And there opens up like a window gap, sort of like when that person turns, like you can watch their screen full on eye contact if they turn around. Just a funny little thing that happens. So not the person ahead of you reclining, the person next to them.
Yeah.
And there's just a weird angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they do that, on behalf of the person sitting behind them, you can like poke them with a pencil or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Last topic is from Andreas M., who asks, pets that are not cats or dogs, are they good? And examples he gives, for instance, guinea pigs, rabbits, birds, fish, etc. So not cats and dogs, are they good? And I'm just going to ask right off the bat, should we carve out fish from this? Because to me, fish are sort of in their own category.
Fish is a decoration.
Yeah. You can't touch them.
Yeah.
Or... I mean, I guess you could.
You can, but
not. But you can't pet a fish.
Yeah. In titling this podcast, I put exotic pets.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a guinea pig or a hamster is not exotic, but I was trying to like, I didn't want to put non-cat dog pets.
Right.
I'm fine taking fish out of this. Like, well, what about turtles though, and lizards and stuff?
No, because you could pick a turtle up, and make it race and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say fish because they're pretty inoffensive. So. Things like reptiles, you know, snakes, birds, especially birds. I'm going to get this. I don't understand birds as a pet.
Never had one.
They're loud. They shit everywhere. They blow up your spot. Like, they'll just start imitating you and mocking you.
And they live forever.
Yeah.
That's
right.
They hang on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My dad's partner, she had a cockatoo for 32 years.
Yeah.
32 years in a cage. Like, I'm also the same. I sort of don't quite get the appeal of it just being in the cage there. Yeah. And it was happy. It was just fine. It used to do all that. It used to do the old phone ringtone, like of an old phone.
Really? Yeah. So you think the phone's ringing? That's like
that's
hilarious.
She would say, like, sometimes she would just hear the phone ring and she's going, it's like, pick it up and it's just the dial tone.
Percy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Lee, I would say that probably most people's wives have had a cockatoo.
would the bird mimic people in an Australian accent?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, like, it wasn't an Australian accent. It was just the way they heard them back then. But, I mean, it was kind of fun. They would let the bird sort of fly around the house when it wanted to. But it would sort of it would fly and sometimes land on top of the drapes and stuff like that, and then it would just go back into the cage after 10 minutes. It wasn't very didn't like going camping, I guess, in the house. But it was, you know, It was kind of fun, you know. It was fun because it was different, and
it's
and
fun because it's different because you're not doing anything.
No, they don't come and sit on your lap or anything like that.
Would you own an animal? That's, I mean, I don't think you have any pets.
No, we don't.
Right?
No, we
you're so close to a dog.
We're so close to getting a dog and a cat. It's incredible.
At the same time. Like,
I didn't know the cat.
The cats. Yeah,
this is new?
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, I'm resisting because I just don't feel our house is really. We don't have a backyard and things like that. And now our 5-year old, soon to be 6, he wants one of those little sausage dogs because there's one around the corner when this guy walks it. And, he loves it so much.
Don't take that dog camping.
Yeah. If we had a proper backyard and place for the dog, or dog especially, cats don't really care, but to run around, we would definitely get one. It's just, right. I don't feel comfortable keeping it in the house as long as it would need to be.
Right.
Okay, but what if, like, let's say you were dating someone, Lee, and you go over to their house, everything's going great, and then you see they got a snake.
Yeah, snakes are very interesting because I would need to know what breed of snake it is, how it gets fed. And
what is an acceptable breed of snake?
well, certainly not a python or any sort of constrictor, because if they get out, they're killing you in your sleep. Just, you're dead immediately.
I had peaches draped on me.
Yeah, but that was
That snake was sedated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that snake was... he wasn't going to do any damage, or she.
Yeah.
But yeah, so snakes are... Have you seen that video going around where this lady is like, she says to her snake, "Oh, baby girl, morning." And then the snake just wraps her up and nearly dislocates her shoulder. Like, and she's on the ground like, "Oh my God," like this. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and she's managed to still hold the phone.
Well, I don't know. No, someone else is on, but she's, you know, "Oh, look at my little snake." And then the snake's like, "I'm going to kill you."
Was it a big ass snake?
Yeah, huge. Oh, yeah, God. Like a python or something like that. So I'd be a little bit careful. I mean, the idea of a snake is kind of cool, but I think in reality it wouldn't. It's the same thing. You're not really bringing it out and playing with it, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, people like to take care of things.
Yeah, yeah, it's
right?
True. Yeah.
Right. So
people love animals. So they just love them.
Yeah.
So
okay, maybe give me this. Me, give me your. If it's not a cat or a dog or a fish, give me the next animal that you would be most likely to get.
That's interesting.
Yeah. For me, it's a rat.
A rat. Okay.
Yeah. I know it sounds weird.
Wow.
But
smart, aren't they?
They're smart. They're trainable. Yeah. They keep your hours, which most rodents don't. So if you get like a hamster or whatever, they're nocturnal, so they're up all night and they sleep all day. What is the point?
Yeah.
And you know, it's sort of cool having a rat. If I had a parrot, it would live on one shoulder and a rat would live on the other shoulder. Mm. Like constantly you know,
like an angel and a devil.
Yeah, that's exactly, right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Giving me advice and teaching me how to cook. Something like that. I'm mixing my Disney references. a rat. If I had to pick one, I would never have a rat, mind you. But I've met rats that I like.
Yeah, some just down here in the south, we get some rodents, don't we?
Yeah, but not. But it's a domestic rat. They're different, right? So, and they don't smell as bad. Hamsters fucking stink. Like, they stink.
Rabbits shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, rabbits are overrated.
Do you know you have to brush a rabbit every day?
Ugh.
Yuck.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Disgusting. Okay, I'm guessing everyone's not good on this.
I'm kind of in the camp of I don't care, really, if people... Like, I wouldn't have one for myself, so I'm going to say not good. But, you know, if you got to have a cockatoo and you want to talk to somebody, I mean...
hey, what's my favorite bird pet? A parakeet.
Ah.
The worst... I've told this story before. My babysitter that I would go to when I was, you know, aged like 5... to whatever, like 10 or something, sort of. It was probably like a after school thing. We would go there. The family had pet ferrets. Worst.
But did they go out ferreting with them, or they just had them as pets?
Go out ferreting with
what?
Them.
What?
They had pet ferrets.
Yes. Yeah.
But did they go out and get rabbits and stuff with them, like use them as hunters or just as pets?
No. Wait, what? I didn't know you could do that with a ferret.
Well, you send them down the hatch and they go and get the rabbits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like that.
Because
okay.
I wouldn't... that's the thing.
No,
if,
they definitely
they
didn't
just
do that.
Pets,
they just
like,
scared the shit out of all the kids.
Yeah,
and they're like... They were... I don't know. They were...
scared the shit out of the kids and Jeffrey Lebowski.
They were... I... I'm having a feeling right now thinking about them because they're fast as hell.
Yeah.
And they're sort of gnarly.
Big teeth. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Anyway. So I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this good? Exotic pets.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I guess I have to say it's not good because I'm looking at it from my own perspective.
You have to look at it that
way. I have very little interest in having anything besides really a dog. I mean, I'm anti-cat too, and that's going to get me in trouble, so I'll stop there. But.
Yeah, we pet sat for our friends, the guinea pig, a few months ago for 2 weeks. I didn't care at all. The boys loved it, but it just doesn't do anything.
What was the worst part of taking care of it?
Well, it just pees and pees everywhere. Yeah, and you just got to change that all the time. And I said to the boys, I said, listen, if you're doing it, you're cleaning this every day. And they did, to be fair. They actually stepped up. They didn't just after a while say, well, we're not doing it, because I made them do it.
So you made them flush the toilet every time the guinea pig went pee over it? Holy man.
Change the paper and all that. But a friend back in Australia had a pet pig, actually. That was kind of cool.
A pot-bellied pig.
Yeah, I saw somebody in the street.
Yeah.
That's true. That could
they're
be
kind
cool.
of friendly and they're fun and, kind of...
Smart.
They're very smart. But, again, I can't look after a pig where I am, but...
No backyard.
No backyard. Mm-hmm. No backyard for a pig.
I guess a horse doesn't count, right, Matt? That's not a pet.
I mean, I guess. I mean, if you're rich enough, some people have horses as pets.
Yeah, it's got to be something.
But everyone knows
your
this
house.
is an explicitly anti-horse podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Lee, what are the people saying on this?
People saying good. 56% of people saying it's good. So I'm just saying ferrets are awesome.
No, it goes. Ferrets are awesome. Yeah. And then Amelia says ferrets are hella destructive. I guess that could still be looked at as awesome.
Yeah.
But
I'm just seeing if there's any other ones in there. Guinea pigs. Yeah.
Did you? I had pet what fish.
Yeah.
I had poor people pets. Let's call them what they are. Okay.
Same. Yeah.
Turtles.
Oh. Never.
And hamsters.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then fish. That's poor people pets. You can't afford a dog or a cat and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had hamsters. They lasted, I think, a month. Yeah. And one of them died, and then the other ate the face off of one of them.
Ugh. Oh, God.
It was gross. It was like, what are these things?
Yeah.
Hamster Lecter? There's something in there.
Hamstable?
Sure.
Hamstable Lecter.
Oh, so it's a germ. Yeah.
Okay, great. Glad we got there. Yeah. All right, we got to take one more break. But when we come back, we're going to have a round of subjective trivia that'll really wet your whistle.
Ooh.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back to Is This Good? Let's get to another round of subjective trivia. Yes, subjective trivia. It's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. So last night, was out for dinner, had a cocktail, and I was thinking, I wonder what is the most popular spirit in the United States? So JD, if you wouldn't mind putting up this chart that I found. It goes, maybe this is a little hard to read, but also if you're listening, it's in order of what's most popular: vodka, then whiskey, then rum, then tequila, then gin.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would have been very close to the order I would have guessed.
Okay.
I think.
So now that you have vodka, whiskey, rum, tequila, gin as the most popular,
uh-oh, okay,
I would like you to re-rank them based on best to worst. Best of those five spirits to worst of those five spirits.
Okay, okay, hold on.
We'll talk it out.
This is according to you, of course. Can we ask?
Or I would say it's the right answer.
Well, it's the right answer. Yes, only according to you. You're not drinking this these alcohols. You're not doing a shot of just straight up alcohol of whiskey or whatever. Are you using this in a cocktail like you did last night?
I think you have to consider everything.
All right.
Okay. Versatility is certainly a factor.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, tequila shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, but see,
or
tequila,
on the rocks versus a cocktail.
Yeah. Okay, you're right.
I've got tequila low. I don't enjoy tequila.
Okay, hold on. Do you know how this
again,
works?
It's
I listened to the last podcast.
I know, but I'm trying to just talk it out as to like.
Okay, fair.
Okay, like, which one you say?
Tequila for me is the last.
Tequila is, I think, one of the most polarizing.
Yes.
Alcohols. I think people either have it very, very low, like yourself, and I know people that have it. What are you talking about? It's actually the best.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know about this guy.
Yeah. I don't
think he has it that high.
No.
But
Matt, something that worked well last time when we did the love language subjective trivia is you guys, they came up with what's for sure the worst one.
Right.
And then they started there.
Yeah.
That could be an avid.
Yeah, that was tricky, that was so though. Easy to follow listening to that
book. Right. I think that tequila is going to be low on the list. I'm trying to think of a time when I've seen,
I know,
Matt.
I know.
Order a tequila-based cocktail, even, and I've definitely never. Maybe we've done tequila shots before, but I don't think.
Let's
that
say
really
that.
Counts.
Let's say. Can we agree? He's going to have whiskey very high.
Yes.
I think it might be one. If not,
yeah,
I think it's going to be one for him.
I'm thinking at that dinner we had in Vegas. He had a whiskey cocktail there, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
So okay.
Yeah.
So you think tequila is going to be quite low? You're saying, JD?
Yeah.
For Matt, I agree. But when's this guy having rum?
Oh, Dark and Stormies. I've seen him suck those down with reckless abandon, like a pirate.
All right, well, that's
our
pirate.
And gin, I know he had a gin phase. I know he had a gin phase.
Gin's great. Gin's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put tequila at the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
What else is there?
Vodka.
There's vodka. I mean,
vodka is so versatile.
Versatile, yeah.
I'm just bringing it back so I can see.
Does Matt drink vodka, though? I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. God, this is tough.
Okay, let's say this is what I think.
Okay, yeah, you give us go 1-5.
Okay, from one is whiskey.
Yep.
Two is rum.
Okay.
Three, gin. Four, vodka.
Wow, we're putting vodka fourth, and then we're putting tequila fifth.
And then tequila fifth. But,
okay, that seems a little crazy.
But yeah, talk me out of it.
I think you're thinking he likes rum more than he does.
Yeah.
I think I'd bump rum down.
Okay, let's do that.
I don't feel
let's
all that,
that
confident putting...
Okay, so you're swapping rum with gin or rum with vodka?
Yeah, that's the tough part. I guess we would be gin, because JD wants it middle. Okay, so we'll go whiskey, gin...
Okay.
What'd you say?
Rum.
Vodka. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, vodka, and then...
So whiskey, gin, rum, vodka, tequila.
Gin's
okay.
Number two.
Yeah. You don't think that's good?
No, I do, but okay, I just didn't think Matt would have it that high.
I think he likes it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you that you were wrong on both. And one thing in your defense is we haven't lived in the same place for the last 3 years.
I told you he had a gin face.
And I've gone through a real change of heart on tequila.
Oh.
He lives in California.
California!
We're stupid!
God damn it!
God! We've got to consider everything.
Here's the correct answer. Number one, whiskey.
Oh.
And on
that show,
whiskey is including everything from a single malt to a blended to a bourbon.
That's the right answer.
Tequila, I think you can include tequila and mezcal because I think, what is it? It's like all tequila is mezcal, but not all mezcal is tequila, that kind of thing. Then I've got gin, which is essential for martinis because I don't like vodka martinis.
Right.
Then rum. A dark and stormy, a pina colada, if you go to a tiki bar, like a Mai Tai, any of those drinks are rum. And then vodka's last because it's garbage. It's flavorless and it doesn't add any interesting taste to a drink. You certainly don't really want to be drinking vodka straight. I mean, I know vodka and vodka soda is sort of the classic skinny, you know, whatever thing, but tequila and soda is a much better option.
Wow.
So again, whiskey... Tequila, gin, rum, vodka.
We weren't that far off if we had taken into consideration this man.
The stupid California.
Adding tequila. Two is a repertoire.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone do a quick go around? You can tell me. Just tell me your number one.
Oh, whiskey.
Your number one and your worst one.
Whiskey and rum. Worst.
Okay.
I'm not a big rum guy.
Hmm.
JD?
Whiskey number one, tequila last.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much the same.
Hmm.
Okay. But, I mean, look, tequila used to make me puke, but
yeah.
I'm back.
On a beautiful summer's day, though, a gin and tonic is
exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I would almost say gin is second for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly understandable.
So good.
Gin is great. Makes girls cry, though. That's what they say.
Gin?
Apparently. Who says that?
English girls. English girls say it makes them cry.
Really?
Apparently so.
Okay, well, that seems like something we can't verify. Okay.
Hey, before we go, I did have this. This is like sort of like subjective trivia, but I don't have an answer. Just to go back to exotic pets, I meant to bring it up then. You know, lizard, obviously, an exotic pet. What's the most, in pop culture, what's the most famous lizard?
The gecko?
The gecko?
I think
gecko?
It is.
Be, right?
I think it has to be by a mile, actually. I was struggling to come up with like a runner up in the lizard pop culture popularity contest. I was
there was a guy in G.I. Joe that was sort of half lizard, wasn't he?
Wow. Snake Eyes? No.
Oh, well, maybe Cobra Commander.
The TV series V, they were lizards, remember?
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. Godzilla? Does Godzilla count?
No, Nora said that. Godzilla is more of a dinosaur, isn't he? Dragon.
No, he's certainly not a dinosaur.
No, right? I would put him in the he's reptilian.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what about Yoshi?
I see some people saying Rango. I never saw Rango.
Yeah, Rango. Rango's got his own movie.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
Rango's got his own movie.
Randall from Monsters, Inc. He's the purple guy.
Yeah.
What's Yoshi?
Yeah,
That's kind of like a dinosaur.
Yeah,
more dinosaur than lizard.
Yeah,
Yoshi. Okay, but it's the gecko, the Geico gecko. It's just incredible.
Iconic.
What a coup! What a coup for marketing.
Right?
Yeah, I know. They knocked that one out of the park.
Tweet us your favorite lizards. And if you have topics, you can tweet them to me at StartersMatt or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Get your emails in quickly because next week we will be recording live on Monday at 1 p.m. So the normal time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. West Pacific. But we'll be doing it on Monday. Skeets, I believe you'll be back.
Yeah. So, wow, where is a quick turnaround?
Yeah.
Where is this good?
What is say it like it's like I mean, I'm surprising you.
No, I'm
this
just
is an edict from
I'm
the Classic
like,
Factory.
I'm hoping I can bring it on Monday. I think
you'll be able to bring it. We'll get some great topics in. Do you have anything to promote?
No, go check out all our content from earlier this week. Talking No Bunts was a really fun podcast. I wasn't on that one. Everybody else was here in the Classic Factory. The guys went to a baseball game. Man. Mm-hmm. I don't get a chance to listen. Lee really loved the tennis at a baseball game.
It was Serena's last game.
I know. It's fair. You're in the suite there. I'll say it. A little rude. You got invited to a baseball game?
Listen,
I left early.
JD left early.
I know.
I arrived early. I arrived early.
Yeah, it doesn't matter though.
I was there to see Seb and drink beer with
but
my
then
new
again,
friend
it's
Seb.
Baseball, so
I was watching baseball diligently. I would have seen 12 to 15 pitches where nothing happens. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a break and watch the tennis. There's like three dingers while I'm down there. So
Exactly. Okay. You can't turn away.
I'm trying to watch it. And I'm just like, come on, hit it, man. Hit it.
Okay. So that's No Bunts. Check out that podcast. And then Graydon and Trey yesterday have a new No Breaks episode. No Breaks, of course, has its own podcast feed and YouTube feed. So check that out. I think that's about it. Trey and I did some ripping of the packs early in the week. We talked about Gallinari and who else did we talk about? Something else. Anyway, it's pretty quiet in the NBA world after the Donovan Mitchell trade. But, man, it's right around the corner, Matty. Are you pumped for the NBA season?
Yeah, honestly, yes.
Yeah, there you go. What about football? Football starts tonight.
Oh, wow. Whoa, I gotta be subscribed to Amazon to watch the game?
Oh, not tonight, you don't, I don't think.
How are my parents gonna find it?
It is crazy. The Athletic shared like an Instagram like slide of like where all the games are. I know you're making fun of it, Matt, but it's legit like they're everywhere. And like they change weeks like where they are. It's gonna be a lot of people complaining. How do I watch it? Can I watch it? Do I have this? Why do I need this?
Yeah.
But anyway, go Bills. I guess they're playing the Rams tonight. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's not hard to find. Is This Good? It's in the No Dunks podcast feed, and it will be there on Monday as well. Thanks for coming, guys. Thank you for listening. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. We'll see you on Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.